Good morning. Happy New Year. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas time. And this new year is off to a good start. I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We talked about how there's something in Paul's words here that is personal. As he draws his conclusion from chapter 1, he said in verse 1, chapter 2, "You therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And he's inviting Timothy in the following verses really to a dangerous mission. And he's going to entrust to him a great responsibility. Timothy has come, if you remember, wasn't that long ago, but Timothy has come to visit his mentor, the Apostle Paul, in the city of Rome, in this what is known as a Mamertine dungeon, prison. And he's been imprisoned for the very responsibility that Paul, the apostle, is asking Timothy to do. Paul was in prison because he was, it says he was the preacher, the apostle, and the teacher of the gospel, the saving message of God concerning his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, it is said in the first chapter, who abolished death and brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. This message, this very message, was entrusted to Timothy in a pattern of words that Timothy had to preserve and to guard. And as mentioned in the first chapter, many people have been ashamed of this message. They were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many had been ashamed of the Apostle Paul. But Timothy is encouraged not to be ashamed. And it's quite a thing that he's asked him to come. The very reason that Paul is suffering, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of me, but come join with me in my suffering for the gospel. So we started in chapter 2 talking about really being strong in the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Being strong in grace. And remember that when 2 Timothy was written, the persecution of Christians was very widespread. Paul, of course, is in prison. People had deserted the Apostle Paul. And in view of this persecution, Paul is asking Timothy to rekindle his spiritual gift and to be unashamed of the gospel, to guard the apostolic deposit that had been made with him. So it unfolds with that backdrop. And he says, "Therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So let's look at verses 5 through 7 this morning. We're only going to look at verses 5 through 7 and then have communion. But read along with me. "And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Understand what I say, for the Lord will give you insight in everything." So the question is, how can I be strong in God's grace? We've seen that Timothy was to take the things that he learned from Paul, and he was to entrust them, not just to anyone, but to faithful men. He was to be a discipler of men. And in verses 3 and 4, he was asked to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And really, this is the third way this morning, the third and fourth and fifth way that you can be strong in God's grace. So the third way that you can be strong in God's grace, or really number one for today, but like an athlete, we're to compete according to God's rules. Compete according to God's rules. Paul often used athletic illustrations in his letters. He mentions track and field. He mentions boxing. He mentions wrestling. We looked at that in Ephesians. And here in 2 Timothy 2:5, he reverts generally to sports, that and particularly to the Greek games. And there were rules that they had to abide by. And those rules were, number one, they had to be a true-born Greek. Second, they had to prepare a certain amount of months for those games. And they had to swear to that they had been faithful in their training before a statue of Zeus. And then third, they had to compete with, they had to abide by the specific rules for that event. And to fail in any of those requirements meant that they would be automatically disqualified. And, you know, I don't want to take off on this, but in our day, we've changed the rules. We've bent them. I heard the other day that they're going to allow, I don't know if it was going to allow it or they're talking about it now, but men boxing women. This is a bad idea, terrible idea. But our society is, well, we know where it's going. But the Christian life is often compared to an athletic competition. And we're not competing against each other. I'm not competing against you. I'm working with you, but I'm not competing against you. I'm competing in the race that God has given me. And I'm looking to God for my reward, not a temporal wreath, as he says other places. We want to be rewarded by our Father. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 26, listen as I read this. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Now everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And in Hebrews 12:1, he said, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and every sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so, for this reason, we must keep the rules. We must keep the rules so that we're not disqualified. Like an athlete, compete according to God's rules. Well, how can believers follow God's rules like an athlete? Every athlete, often from a young age, they spend the time learning the particular rules of a sport. And this, you know, Paul's comparing this. This is a high stakes athletic competition, as we could say, according to God's rules, because the souls of men are at stake. A football player, he knows he's got to compete according to the rules. He's got to line up at the right place. We saw that. Or it's going to be considered offsides. If that weren't the case, he could go over there, stand by the quarterback, and wait as soon as the ball is snapped and tackle him. Well, you can't do that. There's rules that you have to compete by. You can't tackle someone who doesn't have the ball. That would be a penalty, a holding. In the same way, Christians must strive to know the entire revelation of Scripture so that we may be approved by God, he's going to say, and not disqualified for the prize, the eternal reward. It says in Ephesians, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." And we learn what is pleasing to God by learning His Word, discerning His will. We discern His will through prayer, His work in our hearts and lives, through godly saints. And our ultimate desire must be to please God. He's our coach. And many, it's sad, but many Christians don't know the rules. They're not competing according to the rules. And so we need to compete as an athlete according to the rules that God has laid out in His Word. Secondly, be strong in God's grace. We're to be strong in God's grace like a hardworking farmer. Like a hardworking farmer. And you know, farmers work hard. My father-in-law is a farmer. He was a farmer. He's retired now. He still works hard. But it was hard work that he did every day. And the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Now, Paul switches metaphors here from sports to agriculture. And he exhorts Timothy to be strong in the grace of God by modeling a hard-working farmer. The phrase hard-working means to toil intensely, to sweat and strain to the point of exhaustion if necessary, to labor, which is wearisome. It means laboring to the point of fatigue. And many Christians, they believe they don't have to work hard. They just have to let go and let God. You know, wait on God. Just trust Him. I don't need to work hard. And they don't really give consideration to the spiritual disciplines. Maybe they're struggling with some sin in their life. Instead of disciplining themselves to get out of it, I can be apathetic. We can be lazy. We need to be as the hardworking farmer. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." And if we're going to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, we must be willing to work hard. Just as a farmer would get up early and go out and work the field, and he goes to bed late, he works all day, we've got to demonstrate the same faithfulness and our labor for Christ. There are other illustrations of a farmer, characteristics of a farmer that we should all apply to our lives. Christian farmers must be patient. Farmer works hard but waits on God to make fruit grow. We have to do the same as believers. If we're not patient, we'll become frustrated with other people, with the growth, where they're at. Maybe we'll become frustrated even with ourselves. And Paul said in Philippians 1:6, "For I'm sure, I'm confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus." Are you confident in God? Are you frustrated at yourself and with others? I've never seen a farmer yelling at his crops. Why can't you grow? What's wrong with you? No, he patiently waits and he trusts God. Christian farmers must also be faithful in the mundane. John MacArthur, he says, "The teacher often finds exhilaration in the aspiring minds of his students. The soldier often has the excitement of battle, and the athlete the thrill of competing. But most of a farmer's working, most of his working hours are tedious, humdrum, and unexciting. Many Christians' lives are like the farmers. Although there may be occasional times of excitement and special satisfaction, the daily routine is often in itself unattractive and unrewarding." Isn't that true? Most of the Christian life is mundane. It's mundane. Every day, ordinary tasks, those seasons where you wish every moment, every week could be a season of revival, excitement. But it's you experience those other times include, like the farmer, you know, it's hard labor, it's sweat, it's toil. And it's waiting on the Lord. So ask yourself, am I faithful in the mundane things of life? The mundane things of life. Well, Christian farmers must also hope in a future harvest. Again, 2 Timothy 2:6 says, "A hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops." We must work hard to receive a harvest. And that's inspiring to the farmer, to the hardworking Christian. And without hope, we'll become frustrated. We'll give up. We'll despair. And are we laboring in hope? And there's two types of harvest that might come to mind. Obviously, we should work for the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, self-control, etc. Those are listed for us in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit to be born in our lives. And this fruit should motivate us as we labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. And initially, we see the opposite of those fruit. We see other things that it lists as the deeds of the flesh that can be discouraging. But we should allow God to do his work in us. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then the harvest also can refer to a harvest of souls, of lives. You know, being patient. You know, keep spreading the seed, if you will. Christ said in Matthew 9:37, "The harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. Therefore, we are to beseech, we are to pray, we are to tenderly beg the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his field. And we should labor in prayer. We should share the gospel. And all with the hope of seeing the fruit of salvation in the lives of others. So being strong in God's grace, don't give up. We must demonstrate the patience, the faithfulness in the mundane, and also we have a hope of the future harvest. And then lastly, he says, be strong in God's grace. Do it by being a faithful Bible student, being a faithful student of the Word. Verse 7, he says, understand what I say, for the Lord will give you insight in everything. Paul tells young Timothy to think about it. Think about what he said. And the Lord will give understanding. The word think means to consider carefully. Consider it carefully. Ponder it. Mull it over. The form of the verb is an imperative. So this is a command. Paul is giving a strong admonition. This isn't mere advice. This is a command. And with that being said, Paul's instruction to think over what he's just said in the first six verses, but really all of Scripture. Think about the Word of God. Consider it carefully. Study it. And Paul's instructions apply to understanding Scripture. To understand Scripture, we must study it. As mentioned above, mentioned a minute ago, to think means to carefully consider. Many people grow or are growing in their Scripture because they're carefully considering it. They're thinking about it. Psalm 1 talks about the blessing on the man that meditates day and night on God's law. And the word meditates is used of, yes, a cow ruminating on its cud. And I've never gotten a straight answer about this, but a cow will, maybe some of you know this, but it swallows its food, and then it spits it back up, and it chews on it some more. And when it does it, it gets more out of it. And then it goes back down, and I guess some enzymes and things and whatever happens to it, and he brings it back, and he chews on it some more. And that's the idea, ruminating, thinking about it, rolling it over, meditating on God's word. And God will bless that kind of study. He gives more understanding, and he blesses us in many other ways. He makes us like, we could go on in that psalm, but he makes us like trees that are planted by the rivers of water that bear fruit in their season. And one application of the tree metaphor is the strength of a tree. Because of being planted by the rivers of water, you've put down your roots and you can withstand all types of storms. And this is significant for young Timothy. He wanted him to grow strong in God's grace by meditating on God's word. Do you faithfully study God's word? And to understand Scripture, lastly, we must rely on God. And that contains the truth that really studying Scripture by itself is you're partway there, but you're not going to unlock the truths of Scripture or produce fruit. God must give understanding. God must give the understanding. Therefore, when David prayed, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law," Psalm 119, verse 18. And then Psalm 119, verse 33, he says, "Instruct me, O Yahweh, in the way of your statutes, that I may observe it to the end." We rely on God and that's important, but we don't want to always we don't want to just rely on God. We want to consider his word, and maybe other people just study the word but don't rely on God. I mean, you have to have both. You have to have both. You know, I can't pull out my commentaries and, you know, my word studies, and I pull them all out and I've got all this stuff, and you have to say, "Lord, would you help me beyond just the book study? Would you give me understanding?" And that are the disciplines that you can grow strong in the grace of Christ, and how you can accomplish that. So being strong in the grace of God, you're going to rely on God's grace. You're going to be faithfully teaching his word to others. You're going to graciously demonstrate the attitude of a good soldier. And you're going to compete like an athlete. You're going to compete according to God's word or God's rules. And like a hardworking farmer, you're also going to work. And you're also going to be a faithful Bible student. And that's how to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for, Lord, its practicality to our lives. Lord, not only that it's true, but Lord, it's so valuable. It's so precious. And Lord, we thank you for giving it to us. Lord, so many have, many have given their lives for this book. Lord, may we not neglect it. May we not see it as unimportant. But Lord, we see this as very important. And Lord, we pray that you give us wisdom from it. And Lord, we thank you for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.